I said all of this because she could have looked at it the way everybody else saw it. She could have come and said, my husband, you surprised me today. I'm not saying I saw you love God. Did you know your clothes fell off? Hey, I was embarrassed, but I had to understand that this is love for God. But she despised her husband, the Bible says. And the Bible now qualified it. Now, Michal was barren all the days of her life. The only woman in the Bible that got that title. I'm talking about what? Accusation. And this is how he spends money. This is how he spends money. Very soon now, we will be broke. I don't know what is wrong with this woman. I don't know. Which kind of stupid person did I marry? Oh God, don't forget it. What Adam did was to open the door. You see, faith is what? A fight. What did I call it? What did I call it? You have to fight. You have to fight. God blessed me with different kinds of children so that I will understand that faith is a fight. That is, he will bless you with a child that if you teach him 1 + 1 for 1 year, he won't learn it. There was a woman I knew once who was telling me one day she almost beat her husband at his bite. Because she had taught her son and taught at the end of the day, I said, leave him, he doesn't know anything. That was a father's judgment. And listen, this is a fact. The boy deserved that comment, naturally speaking. Yeah, he deserved it. And the woman had been learning some faith. Now the woman attacked the husband. Because it wasn't just that you are speaking, I'm not happy what you said. She suddenly understood what was going on. I'm not saying the way she responded is all right, but I'm trying to explain that it was totally out of order, if you're a believer, to make that kind of comment that man made. You have to fight not to say it. It's a fight. They will tell you, you know, Americans, oh God, not in America, just so-called civilized, when you don't know God. You are in trouble. There are days I just wake up and say, God, thank you for this knowledge of you that we have. They will not label your child for you. He has attention deficit hyperkinetic disorder. They give him a label. Most of those attention deficit hyperkinetic disorders are curable with a cane. If you obey the word of God, you will see that attention deficit hyperkinetic disorder is a spirit that responds to flogging. Bound in his heart, tell him, sit down there. You hear what I said? Sit down there. If you do not sit down there, I give you 3 strokes of the cane. After a few days, the boy learns obedience from the things that he suffers. But he now come and tell you, you can't flog a child. It is wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. Then they go to come again and diagnose for you that your son has attention deficit hyperkinetic disorder. Then one day he takes a gun and shoots his parents, and they are wondering why. I'm talking about fight, faith being a fight. So when the boy starts doing attention deficit, you can say, "Come here, sit down. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are attentive." Tell the boy, say amen. If you don't want to say amen, you do the will of God. You have a cane. You know, don't forget all that lies they tell you that you don't flog a child. You flog a child. The problem is if you don't start early enough. When people don't start early enough, now they get a problem. You want to start flogging a child by the time it's already 5. You listen to me. You started too late. What did I say? The wrongest time to flog a child is when he has grown. What flogging does for a child is to teach him who's the boss and whose words cannot be disobeyed. Anyway, let me sit on my message. I said faith is a fight. So when problems arise in the house, there are different ways to interpret it. The boy is not attentive. You can say, no, we need to pay more attention. We have to, this boy, you have to treat him with this kind of hand and this one with this kind of hand. You know that kind of thing. but that he's not going to go far in life, it doesn't cross your mind. Satan will tell you that, you know, this was what happened to the son of Mr. Ajanlekoko. By the time he was 15, he was beginning to see double. You know, after the time he was 18, he was using Indian hemp. Then they start going for one form of deliverance after the other. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are listening to Satan talk to them. And I'm going to answer, I say, this is not Ajanlekoko's house. This is my house. In this house, Jesus is Lord. In this house, I shall have what I say. In this house, the power to name all the created beasts on the field, all the creatures that were with Adam, was in the mouth of Adam. And these are the created people in my house also. Including the wife that God gave to Adam. Adam had to give her a name. And whatever the name of the living being he gave, that was its name. That's what the Bible says. You tell him his own name, which you gave, and you tell him what his destiny will be like. You will be a good boy. You will be a good child. No evil shall befall you, neither will you do evil. I teach my kids, nobody is bullying you. Let the person be twice your size, he's not allowed to bully you. Anybody wants to harass you in school, go and report. If he pushes you, push him back and go and report. And I add to it, and you are not allowed to bully anybody. You will be kind. One thing I preach once, which my wife did not forget, I said, as they are growing older, if my children are going to be body house one day, if you are packaging food, make it 2 portions. You teach them kindness. You talk to them. Listen, this is your destiny because this is my house. And in this house, I shall have what I say. Why am I saying all of this? Satan comes because, you see, he doesn't have the kind of power people think he has. He does not have it. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. If you think I just come and just say, I'm going to destroy your destiny, he can't. He can't. He does not have the ability to do it. What he has the ability to do is to persuade you to agree with him. What am I teaching? Once Adam obeyed Satan, he released his horde of demons onto the earth. You know, we started by saying that, how did Cain know how to kill? You know, that's where I began from. Nobody had ever been killed in his presence. And no human being. No. He didn't understand it. But there are these things they call demons, evil spirits. The first one that came is, just like you talk to the mother. Who's the elder of the two of you? Cain said, "Not me." Okay? And your sacrifice was not accepted. Your younger brother's sacrifice was accepted. It's not, is it good? Listen, my friend, it is not good. Because is it good would have had no answer with him because he did not know. So the evil spirit said, it is not good. Have you noticed that 6 months ago, when your mother was trying to do this one, you know, you came 2 minutes late. He had already eaten the first plate. Listen, it is not good. I was like, yes. So what are you going to do? By that time, the spirit of hatred possesses him. Hatred just like this. That's mother comes. Guys, shift. What we will do is we will kill him. This cannot continue. So what did you say? Just don't worry about it. I'll show you what to do. The guy raises a hand, hits his brother. Boom. He said, boom. He had never seen it done. How did he know to do it? Once I watched a program on one of these documentaries, I can't remember which of the channels now. A young boy, young man, not a child, maybe in his 20s. His father was an FBI agent. One day, 2 people were murdered. They found the body of a man, a young man, and a young woman who had gone camping. They were all went into the woods. They found their bodies in their cars. They were dead. So they had investigated. They didn't find what happened. Anyway, one guy finally took over the investigation. After he finished analyzing it, he called that retired FBI agent and said, "Sir, I think your son did this thing." And the man was surprised. "My son?" Let's make a long story short. The man called his son. Because the investigation happened, the thing happened some time before, and the investigation didn't go anywhere. They couldn't make a headway. So this new fellow who took over, after he analyzed everything, he said, I think this is the person who did it. The guy's father was an FBI agent, he's now retired, so he went and met the man. You know this case, the man said, yes, I think this your son did it. This is the point I'm getting to. That man now called his son and said, look, somebody was in my house. Remember this particular case? The boy said, yes. Said, they have evidence to prove that you did it. Son, did you? Here the boy denied. Said, look, talk to me. What happened? He said to his father, I don't know why I did it. This is the point I'm getting to. He said, it was not me. That I was there. If it was a gun, yes, I pulled out my gun, shot the two of them. But it was not me. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That the fellow, it was just the father that, that is, something seemed to have possessed me as I did it. And listen to me, I have enough understanding to know the boy wasn't lying. He was not telling lies. There are demons that they call the spirits of murder. They possessed him. He had finished killing them before he realized what happened. That was why he broke down when his father was questioning him on the phone. Satan, I say it all the time, pushes people. The Bible tells us that Satan entered into Judas for him to betray Jesus Christ. Are you saying, therefore, that people are not culpable? They are. They are. They are. Because the door, the control of that door is with them. If you don't open room for the devil, he can't enter to start pushing you around. This is how he starts when he wants to enter. He starts small, small. Remember with Cain? The spirit of jealousy, envy. Who is older? You know they came with Jesus. The spirit came to Jesus Christ to John the Baptist. He said, John, now wow, ministry these days. Men are no longer loyal. He said, what happened? You know that your cousin, you know, I warned you about close relatives. That your cousin that you baptized here, look at his church down the road. He's now gathering more people than us. It was not just the volume, it was the people. Remember this wood designer that used to, yes, a strong supporter of the ministry. Yesterday I saw him. He has joined your brother's church. That was it, That normal people would have said, Listen, you know this doctor, the one that Andrew, yes. Remember that first time I wanted to raise money for that building project? It was the one that gave us the first 5 million. Yes. When last did you see offering from him? It's true. Yes, now. He has gone to your cousin's church. Then people get to church and start preaching all kinds of messages. They are angry. Envy, anger, you understand, jealousy. Albie Thame said, a Christian can kill. He said, you'll be amazed at what Christians can do. Let me add my own words. Let them just let the right spirit, you know what I mean by right, the proper spirit enter. My friend told me about a pastor. He traveled, came on the pulpit. You know, imagine all of you came for service, like teaching like this. And then I'm telling Israel, you're a wicked soul, get out of here. I said, you preach while I was gone, you don't take over the church. Everybody was present. One was a woman. He said, you're a Jezebel inside church. One of my friends, pastor in this town, he said, one night he was the one that did the job. Imagine that all the seats here are written KWM, you understand, Kingdom World Ministries. I can't travel, I can't come back. And I want to collect the ministry back. Israel said, when you were gone, we're holding this place. You don't change your own to World Affair Ministries. WAM. So now you will go call police. My friend told me that night, he came here at night, locked the door, began to repaint the whole chair. From KWM to WAM. He said he said at 4 a.m. he come up for church that day. By the time police came next day, they couldn't find any trace. No trace of the former ministry's name. He said, Pastor Banky, Namidwa. He was one of those zealous boys following the big boss. But when they told John, he didn't say that. John said, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. That's the summary. If they want to go to that church, let them go. Bishop Odipo said something those days. He said, listen, if this church is not blessing you, that's why we have many doors. File out here, file out there. File. He said, please, I'm sorry. I will not be angry. I mean it. Please, if I'm no longer a blessing to you, file, just go. He said, one day his wife asked him. He was studying at night. He said, sir, when you go home and sleep now, why are you still studying at this particular time? Ah, he said, I'm studying because of you. You must say because of me. He said, yes. He said, you know that pastor down the road, you know his wife comes to our church. He said, before you start going to another person's church, I have to make sure I am fully resourceful. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. This is the point I'm making. That spirit of jealousy, it also afflicts men today. It does. It does. And it opens the door for greater things. You know what I mean? Greater things. Worse things begin to happen. Before you see what's happening, preachers are exchanging blow. They are blowing themselves seriously. One man is in prison. Who arrested him? His brother, the preacher. Over what? The tithe is no longer complete. They are now coming to your church with my tithe. You'll be amazed. How does it happen? The spirit comes. It's a spirit of envy. A spirit of jealousy. As you allow that one in, he brings his friends with him. The spirit of anger. You understand? The spirit of violence. The spirit of murder. That's what happens. So when Adam sinned, what he did was to open the door and all those people came in. What's my message? It's about sin. It said death reigned because of sin. You know, yesterday was a very bloody day on the road in Nigeria. If you watch the news, it was a disaster. Tanker exploded somewhere between Benin and Ore. Luxury bus swiped everybody inside. People in their shops beside, people in the tanker. Even, you know, the tanker first fell, where they pour. You know, human beings, oh God. Instead of them to run, they came, they started scooping. So when the thing caught fire, it scooped them joint. My friend sent me a message that he was on his way from Uyo back to Benin. His brother went to, you know, they wanted to get married, so they went for the initial ceremonies. He said, well, I don't know if I go slow. So I just assumed a normal go slow. 1.5 hours, you go clear now. If I go to Benin, anyway, let's make long story short. He was there for 3 hours. I said, what happened? He said one of these beer companies, their truck pummeled one bus. And he said human parts were littered all over the place. They saw them trying to dig out people's bodies from inside the wreck. He said the bus splintered as if it was made of wood. This morning I picked my news to read. Is it 18 or something people died between Onitsha again and Owerri? That same yesterday. When I woke up today, I began to pray. That's what they call carnage. Are you getting my point? Why did I tell all of these stories? That is what is called death. Death is not just that somebody died. It is that there is destruction everywhere. And this is the interesting part. Some of you are shouting, many of us, Boko Haram, Boko Haram. I said, road accidents are killing more people than Boko Haram, that they can even imagine. Every day. That one that happened yesterday, and this is just one stretch of road, not just between Owerri and Lagos. We didn't count the ones in the other part of eastern Nigeria, western Nigeria, you understand my point, and the rest of the country. We didn't count any one of them. People say, I know, go fly again. Oh, yeah, no be the road. Now you won't pass. I say, I don't go anywhere again. They now hear a hurricane, something. You all come out the house, bam, kill everybody inside. Not before, is it Tunisia or Tanzania? One of these African countries a few days ago, Tunisia, yes. a high-rise apartment building under construction just came down. Pwah! The workmen, you know, the way they report in the media, 4 people are dead and 17 are missing. Missing go where? Who thief them? They're making it look like they are not dead yet. Oh boy, after 2 days, now say, okay, they are presumed dead. They are still missing. After 1 week, they have been declared dead. I said this is what the Bible calls indignation. This is what the Bible calls wrath. That is, there are go and see it. In the land, God will tell you that, listen, when I want to punish people, I will send famine. No, he said that I will send sword. Then some will escape, it will escape the death by sword. Then to them, I will now send a pestilence. Then some will escape the death by pestilence. That's diseases, outbreaks. Then I will now send famine. The same destruction, different kinds of ways by which it is coming. What I wanted to explain. All of these things begin to happen because sin came in and death comes in because of sin. When I'm talking about death, you know, sometimes we look at, this is the most interesting part. You know, Solomon says that, he said that there's somebody that God gave plenty of food and did not give him the ability to enjoy it. Let's look at our country, Nigeria, we have prayed for and we are believing God for greater things for, and the whole of Africa. We are talking about riches. There's no continent as rich as this one. None. All this noise they are making about nuclear bomb. Where did they get their uranium from? East Africa, Central Africa, East Africa. You make noise about gold, diamond. Most of them are mined South Africa. Nigeria has like two of the world's top oil producers. Sorry, Africa. Nigeria is here. Angola. Angola has as much oil as Nigeria has. Ghana just discovered their own. And don't forget the original name of Ghana, Gold Coast. If you farm the land, the arable land in Nigeria properly, they can feed half of the world. That's what the Bible calls wealth. It gave them resources. But ability to enjoy it, another story. The point I'm making is this. You're talking about the power of death. People can be in the midst of plenty like that, and they don't have the ability to enjoy it. It's still part of what the Bible calls the power of death. Yes, that's it. One of the ways by which death operates is that it takes people's brains away. That is, they can't reason. They will see one thing, they can't tie it up to the other. What I want to emphasize, listen, you know, when you see what's going on in the developed world, the so-called developed world, that is becoming spiritually underdeveloped, they make me laugh. They don't realize that sin is a major, that is, when I look at Barack Obama talking with his big ears, I laugh. On one hand, you're talking about economic recovery. On the other hand, you are killing the moral state of the nation. You don't realize that the moral state of the nation is a foundation for economic prosperity. It's foolishness. Total foolishness. They can't seem to tie it together. And people have told them, legalize gay marriage, then you are dead. In fact, that's a major step towards total decadence. Because the premise upon which you legalize gay marriage is the same premise on which a brother will marry the sister. Something that's not currently acceptable anywhere in the world. Incest. Then one day a grandmother is going to marry the grandson. No, it's not a joke. They're already trying these things. Yes, society is saying no. But once you say a man can marry a man, that's it. I come one day, say, it's my dog. I'll marry my dog. Equal rights for anybody. I marry whoever I like. I come one day with my tortoise. With this shell I deal with. Then you now understand where God, your verse one day. And I say, boys, Sodom and Gomorrah, wipe them out. Wipe them out. What kind of nonsense is this? You know, God will come to work one, you know, in quote, God will come to work one day to sign marriage certificate. Say, who is this? It's Adam. Is this Eve or Steve? Says Steve, sir. I was supposed to sign that. That's what we see. And one day he comes. Say, who's this? His name is Jumbo. Who's this? Bingo is a dog, sir.
I should marry Jumbul and Bingo. And God just called some people. He said, come. Where are they? Say, and that's it. Go and wipe all of them. I said, Adam will now say, could you destroy those who are not sinning? He said, okay, you know anybody there that's not sinning? I suspect my cousin, my nephew Lot, is in order. He said, count down, count his wife, count the children. He said, if they don't reach 10, say, they don't reach 10. Say, Lord, you can finish everybody else. They reach there. They try to count 10. But where? Even Lot's wife, they count. You get the principle. That's why God destroys people. That's why he destroys people. Because he comes to sign marriage certificate, he sees all kinds of things. Sin entered, that's the point I'm making. And death by sin. Economy decadence, that's it. Diseases of all types. The world thought they are taking care of smallpox. One was saying, I'm coming, I have a cousin, very distant, wicked soul, it's called HIV. We'll see you guys in about 25 years. One disease is exchanging human beings for the other. And this is the funny part. They still won't tell themselves the truth. If you just spend a quarter, who said a quarter? 5% of the money that you are spending researching into HIV/AIDS today, if you have spent 5% of it telling young boys and young girls, you don't have to do this thing. AIDS will have died a natural death. The natural line to you. That doesn't work. Abstinence does not work. What kind of nonsense? How can, what is his name? Elton John, married to John Elton. Tell me that abstinence doesn't work. Do you have the brain to understand anything about sexuality? You're a bloody homosexual. If they had done what we said, years later they haven't found cure for AIDS. All those who had it then have died now. If you had warned everybody else, those who had it would have, they would still have died. And the rest of the world will have learned a lesson. But the Bible said they will say, not he. What does that mean? God will scatter Egypt. Egyptians, he says, is not God. So God will bring another plague. They will suffer smarter. He says, it was a mistake, not coincidence. Death is reigning because of sin. The point is, let me, you know, my message is about Jesus Christ, not about death, really. You're setting up to it. The Bible says, as much as these things are the consequences of the actions of the people, God is not pleased. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever we believe will not perish but have everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Everlasting life is the reversal of everything that we have said. Everlasting life means that when you travel to Lagos, you get there. Death is not an accident. Everlasting life says that if it is critical for the sustenance of this of that area, that place is set on fire, people will pass, they will block the road, then the angels will blow it up. And they will say nobody was injured, but needed to burn up that bush. Everlasting life means that if anybody tried to introduce AIDS, it no go work. Everlasting life means that if death was present, a spirit of life is injected, it will be as if nothing ever went wrong in that place. That's everlasting life. Because of time, all right? Because I want to talk about this curse thing again. Because it's just a problem in the world today. Ignorance. I said to you earlier, death, another word you can use in this context is curse, all right? The curse kept on moving because all men sinned. From one generation to the other, they keep doing the things that bring the wrath of God upon them. They call it a generational curse, and not a lie. If you know I'm talking about Jesus Christ, right? The work of Jesus. I want people to know that those curses have been brought to an end. Let me read one scripture I quote. I close with it. Kai, my time has gone. Please, I want you to follow this. You know, I'm saying many things. I want us to, by the time we finish, you will understand what Jesus came to do. I'll read this one. You know, it was during the night I woke up. I began to study. I told my wife, yay. I said, this is not revelation. This is not understanding. If I had to quickly start writing down points from Hebrews. I got to chapter 8. I had written 14 crucial, critical, serious points. One of them, let me just point it out. Then we close. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Don't forget, one thing you must leave this place with today is, listen, death comes by sin, and faith is a fight. Adam's sin opened the door, and all kinds of tempting evil spirits entered into the earth. They taught Cain how to kill. And they are still going around. The big ones find it hard to attack people. The small ones must open doors for them first. The spirit of murder doesn't just jump, boom. It's hard. So he looks for the spirit of anger, jealousy, hatred. He allows those spirits to go ahead of him. I told you a story that once a young boy, at the age of 17, he and his boy, serious high school, he was just graduated from what they call high school. He and his friends decided to go and play. And one of them said, let's steal a car. And the events of this life, they are interesting. Let's steal a car. That small comment, this boy didn't have a criminal record. That's, let's steal a car. He died a few years later by lethal injection. Why? Because he decided to steal the car of, they just saw one car on the road at random. Just picked one car, pursued the owners. An elderly man and his wife were coming back from going to visit, from having gone to visit their children, their grandchildren. And he picked the man, dragged the man out of the car, cocked his gun, and shot him. And he told his friends, shoot, he called the woman a bad name. Shoot her! And those ones like, what? We said let's just steal a car. They refused to fire. They finally caught them. The other ones went to jail for armed robbery or whatever. But he did not go to jail. They killed him for murder. I watched Christian Amanpo follow the whole case till the day they executed him and showed us his dead body. He asked the boy. The boy said, why did I do it? I don't know. Will I say it's my parents? He said, no, they are not like that. He said, my friends? He said, no, I'm the leader. He was a high school basketball team captain. He said, I'm the leader amongst them. My friends don't influence me. I influence them. So why did I do it? He said, I don't know. When he said it, whether it was the Holy Spirit or plenty of understanding, but as he was talking, what I was seeing was I was a black boy and he had a white man under his control for once in his life. So the picture painted back in my mind again. I said, oh, his father, his mother didn't realize it. They had taught him how to hate white people. They did not know. Anger is there, deep-seated. Hatred, it was there, deep-seated. And the spirit of murder was following the boy about. When they had the opportunity, he jumped inside. The boy pulled the gun, cocked it, shot somebody he did not know. What he did not realize that the man was white. That it didn't strike him. He didn't know that was why he did it. Listen, I told you earlier, that was why I was unhappy with that book when it came out. That you came out too late. Don't come and be scraping open wounds. There are people I've dressed, I've tried to heal for decades. Listen, he said, I must tell my own story. You don't have to. We have a Bible to read. That's enough. You understand what I'm saying? What am I talking about? Because that little boy, he killed. My persuasion was that he did simply because all his life, the parents did not realize, the community did not realize him, they had taught him to hate white people. And like I say to them, I say about it, that is why when God wanted to say, okay, it's time for a black man to be president, he made sure he was raised in a white family. You know one of the reasons? He was discriminated against. Yes, quite all right. He had his own problems. But the person who gave him life was white, his mother. The people who raised him, his grandparents, were both white, his mother's parents. So he grew up without anger towards a white man. He couldn't. That was the only way he could be president. Jesse Jackson, for in 1 million years, wouldn't be president. Al Sharpton, in 10 million years, would never be president. Those ones could never be president. It takes a Barack Obama, who's now using Indian hemp, obviously. But at least, when God brought Jeroboam to office, it was the will of God. Jeroboam got there, began to use Indian hemp, like Obama is doing right now, we all know. But the point is that when God wanted to put Obama in office, he made sure he was raised by white people. He said, listen, for me to help you, strangers have to build your walls. The way you guys are behaving. So he took him, just brought a black man from Africa. Oh, yeah, fertilize this egg for me. After the boy fertilized, he tossed him away. He said, if I allow you to raise him, the anger inside you, the vexation of generations will never allow him to become what he's supposed to become in life. The work of Jesus. I want people to know that those curses have been brought to an end. It was this night I was studying again, it suddenly hit me. Paul said, anyone who has believed has ceased from his own works. It's a labor to enter into the rest. Then it struck me that most of the effort in life today is trying to fight the power of death. That is, let me give you an example. Every day people come with everything. Jog early in the morning. So you go around the Aquara Square. You see everybody slim, fat, old, young, running around. Running around is not bad. Is it bad? It's not bad. It's good. But go and check it. Most of people who are doing it, they are doing it so they can live long. Have no love for running. They don't want to be fit. It's like if you don't jog now, your heart will fail on you one day. What does that mean? They are laboring to overcome the power of death. There's a joke I heard recently. Have you ever heard of Hallelujah Diet? They say chop vegetables in the morning, fruit in the afternoon. Let only 20% of whatever it is you eat be composed of cooked food. You know, and they finish all of that. Is that me? Sorry. I don't know what they do. I'm reading something. Why do we go through all of those things? We're trying to fight the power of death. I hope you get what I say. Save. Make sure you have 10% every year for the next 50 and after start yielding for you. That is, you don't want to be poor in old age. It's called striving to overcome the power of death. And he said, he that has believed has stopped from those strivings. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came for this purpose. If I like, let me lie down my life. If I'm not supposed to die before the age of 100, I'm not dying. Why did Jesus come? Jesus said, listen, long life is not in jogging. It's not the kind of food you eat. If you want to jog, jog because it is good. You like to be light. You know, you like to be light on your feet. But if you think that that will make you live long, the day after you finish jogging, removing all the fat in your body, a car will jam you with that. Listen, the truth of the gospel, if you understood it, I told you one of two things will happen. Either you will, if somebody observes you, either thinks your head is not correct, or you are walking by faith. The two of them, they look alike.